This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2147. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short and medium wave. On this edition, recorded July 14th, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Egypt, International Vacuum, Italy, Japan, Korea, North and South, Kuwait, Malaysia, Mexico, Nigeria, Palau, Russia, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Ukraine, Yucatan, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, we continue to track the activity of LRA 36 Antarctica, nominally scheduled on Wednesdays and Saturdays only from about 15 UT on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB, the 300 watts audible via remotes in Argentina or Brazil. On Saturday, July 2nd, it did not cut on the air until 15:17 and cut off the air abruptly at 16:09. On Wednesday, July 6th, Gary Pence heard it via remotes, but it went off already at 15:11. On Saturday, July 9th, I heard it come on at 14:55, and it went off around 15:30. And then on Wednesday, July 13th, not heard at all during that usual hour. More monitoring as first reported last week of Shortwave Australia, a new low-power private station, on 4835, Ron Howard in the California coast says he is hearing a carrier, but too weak for any audio. On July 7th, a carrier was audible at 1113, but off at 1124. And on July 8th, it was still on the air past 1320. Brian Powell in Sydney was also hearing his other frequency, 2310, on July 9th, and something else on 2325, modern dance remix medleys. At 0813 UT, S5 via remote in South Australia, but no ID heard. Soon found info on FB that Peter Tate is broadcasting on 2325 instead of 1611 kHz, presumably still from WIWAR NSW. Via remote in Canberra, Zaharias Youngest was also hearing nonstop music on 2325 at 0840. Matt Francis agrees that's the one. He was also hearing lots of other activity at the same time from low-power private Australians, not only 4835, 2325, 2310, but 5045 Bay Islands and 4KZ on 5055, a busy Saturday night. Then at 0956, he adds one more for a total of six at the same time, unique radio on 5035 USB. That's from Matt Francis in Bilgola Plateau NSW. Hans-Jürg Wiener adds, according to ACMA files, domestic HF licenses of Stefano Molo in Perth are still valid. In May 2017, there was a test on 5045, but nothing heard about it since. His licenses are for 2368 until January 2027 and 5045 until February of that year. Nothing to do with shortwave, but an article, Why is Aussie Radio Booming? From James Cridland's website about Aussie radio success via Mike Terry. They're booming in the sense that in ratings, the Brisbane market, Nova 106.9 is the number one station, the biggest QM ever for that market. And commercial radio revenue is growing strongly, up 11% year to year, says Commercial Radio Australia. I've been monitoring Radio Voz Missionaria Brazil almost every night around 07 UT. It's remained just below 9674 on variable frequencies. Actually, much of the time it seems to be jumping back and forth between two frequencies a few hundred hertz apart. For example, 9673.72 and 0.52, or 9673.4 and 0.5. By the way, July 10th at 0635, they identified not only in Portuguese, but in Spanish with a Brazuguese accent. They also run IDs in English, but I have not caught any of those lately. Their other off-frequency is relatively stable. I measured on 5938.458 at 0720 July 12th. That was facilitated by the absence of WWCR from 5935. Sheldon Harvey informs us of a special ham radio event on Sunday, July 17th, marking the 60th anniversary of the Canadian International DX Club. Two ham stations will be activated in Quebec and Alberta. VE2 AQP from Montreal, operated by Gilles Letourneau, between 18 and 22 UT, around 14240 USB, plus or minus. And this is a ham called VE6 SWL, active from Lamont, Alberta, operated by Mickey Domage. July 17th, from 18 to 22, the same time, around 14265 USB. Special EQSLs will be issued for contacts with either or both, and SWLs also welcome to send reports if you log either station. Those receiving EQSLs who are not CIDX members also get a free sample copy of Messenger. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports something new from Voice of Strait. On July 8th and 9th, from 10:38 till 11, instead of the usual VOS programs, 4900 Parallel 4940 were both relaying CNR1 from Parallel 6125 with fair signals. And then at 11, both VOS frequencies ended that and went to individual programming, but no longer in parallel. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana Cuba, or I guess this is wrong. I ran across their Spanish DX program En Contacto at an unscheduled time, since 5040 is not supposed to be on the air this late. But UT Monday, July 11th, it was ending at 0651, so it must have started about 0636. It's scheduled for three previous times on Sundays and UT Mondays. Something's always egregious in Egypt. Here's what I found when trying to monitor the English sesquiar at 2115 on 9440 the past week. On July 6th, there was extremely distorted music with a whine. On July 8th, instead of a huge unreadable mess, there was no signal at all. On July 9th, it was very much on, but extremely distorted and totally unlistenable. But it was almost on frequency, only 5 hertz minus. And on July 11th, there was hum whine only in English. And July 13th, terribly overmodulated and distorted with hum, but English news was somewhat readable if you put up with it, which I will not. International vacuum. The much-anticipated first images from the Webb Space Scope. Yes, they are impressive and pretty, but we realize they are the outcome of post-production, as no human eye could ever see anything like that. We hope to trust that the colorization converted from infrared wavelengths bears some relation to reality, but spare us all the six-pointed stars, which if not imposed deliberately, would be considered produced by defective optics. In shortwave bulletin, Andrea Lavendel updates us on the situation of our old friend Dario Monferrini of Milano, Italy, the founder of PlayDX. Unfortunately, Dario suffered an important stroke 2 years ago, followed by some other minor vascular events. He's been treated in a hospital out of town, and due to the pandemic emergency, it was practically impossible to visit him. In late 2020, he was transferred to an elderly rehab unit very close to one of Milan's two biggest hospitals as a resident patient. Later, he has been able to partially access his Facebook account and mobile phone. He's still able to speak and looks like he has kept much of his memory, but I doubt he can move around freely. Ron Howard in California noted that 5006 and 8006 were not bringing him JG2XA from Japan, July 11th at 1217 UT. They were clearly off the air, low-powered stations, about 60 watts, had been carrying out an HF Doppler project. He emailed the professor in charge and soon got a reply that they were off the air temporarily to replace the air conditioning system in the operation room. Isuke Hosokawa, Ph.D., said they hope to be back in a few days. And Ron Howard's latest updates on the clandestines from South to North Korea as of Monday, July 11th. Echo of Hope, VOH, was on these frequencies, 3985, 4890, 5995, 6255, 6350, and 9105. Heard from 1122 to 1150 UT, the TV audio feed for an English language lesson. These frequencies should be good through Sunday, July 17th, and then some of them will shift up or down 5 kHz or so. While its sibling station, VOP, had not made any changes as of 1125 UT, still on 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600. Shiokaze or Seabreeze from Yamata, Japan, at 13 to 14 UT, continued on 5920 and 6040 this month, and continues to be free from North Korean jamming. However, 6040 caused QRM for Yunnan Radio International in China in Vietnamese on 6035. And one more station, Voice of Freedom 6045 at 1130, was poor due to North Korean super jamming, which was also on 6135 against nothing. And from North Korea, DRM on 3205 and 6140 at 1135, presumed KCBS Pyongyang, while the same station in AM was on 3250 and always off frequency 3959 at 1130. Pyongyang BS broadcasting station, another program, good on 6160 instead of 6400 at parallel 3320 at 1220. And Echo of Unification at 1220 was on 3945 and 5905. Just because a station can broadcast in DRM does not mean its frequencies will be accurate. Zaharias Liangas noted Kuwait on 15109.7 at 1029 July 10th. Back to Ron Howard, but onward alphabetically to Malaysia about Sarawak FM on 9835. From Kajang on the west coast of Peninsular Malaysia, heard July 11th at 10:53 with the usual 3-minute Islamic call to prayer for sunset, known as Maghrib. That's the time of sunset in Kuching, not the rest of Malaysia. Later at 13:20, heard the station's mother's slogan in English, "This station is now the ultimate power in the universe." And from Asilomar State Beach, California, near Monterey, Ron Howard adds, "I've been retired now for 14 years, and for all these years, I have almost daily been using my Eton E1 at the beach, bought a sesquidecade ago. It is still daily bringing in great reception, the most enjoyable radio I have ever owned." And one more from Ron Howard about Radio Educación Mexico, 6185. July 12th at 0840, mostly jazz music, unusually strong audio and good strength. He says please to finally report their sign-off time at 11:01, just after they started the national anthem. And after 10:45, they are mixing with CHBC in China, which is playing traditional Chinese opera underneath Mexico. By the way, Manuel Mendez forwards a website from the station showing that the official name of the shortwave operation is Cultura México Señal Internacional. Check almost every night after 06 UT for Nigeria just below 7255. But there's been no signal for several weeks. Nor have I seen any other reports of it on that or its other possible frequencies, 9690, 11770, or 15120 at any hour. It seems a lot of monitors are not alert for stations missing from previous known activity. Some editors are loath to publish any non-log as meaningless. Nor has there been wailing and gnashing of teeth about the loss of another shortwave broadcast country, like there has been about Greece. In that case, there was some ERT news about a decision to stop it, but no news from Nigeria one way or the other. Does anyone have any contacts in Nigeria or at Voice of Nigeria to enlighten us about the situation? Is it temporary or permanent? The World Radio TV Handbook says they have two 250-kilowatt transmitters at Abuja, Lugbe. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2147, a non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from Kari Kallio in Lahti, Finland, who sent a contribution via PayPal, not necessarily originally in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. Ben Dawson forwards a comment from the field by the commissioning engineer responsible for the reactivation of the Palau government station on 1584 kHz as of July 12th. He says Palau has been on the air now for a few weeks, completely trouble-free. However, there seem to be quite a lot of digital radios that jump 10 kHz at a time, so 1580 to 1590, and miss out the required frequency 1584. a common problem reminiscent of the days when the Japanese FM band stopped at 104 MHz, and receivers purchased there, taken elsewhere, were unable to receive stations above that frequency. I say, surely there are some even or close to even frequencies available in this remote location, as some other Pacific islands have coped with the problem. And or maybe the 10 kHz radios have a hidden 9 kHz switch? Despite what I reported last week about RUSDX ceasing publication, now we have this from editor Anatoly Klepov in Moscow. Everything is changing. This is an inevitable process. But words of support are the main thing for me, and I will continue to issue a bulletin, which will change a little. There are enough problems, but I hope for the support of readers. Good luck to all readers and health. About Russia, presumably, from Steve Witt in the Medium Wave Circle. The station reported on 1574.86 kHz has been associated with Bay of Free Waves on 3940, but the linkage was unclear. I found some Russian info that sheds some light on it, apparently from a blog, starting with our story, Bay of Free Waves. Initially, there was no idea to create radio on a permanent basis. We were told how to make an internet radio and created a sample that worked. And we tried to make a video on YouTube about the history of radio piracy and radio hooligans. Some of them got on our radio on the internet and under the heading Listen and Download. Then we heard these podcasts on the air and realized we had created something interesting. Feedback from radio listeners reached us positively and even enthusiastic. We began to receive letters from radio amateurs with reports and a request to send a station card. We did so by email. We don't have our own radio transmitter, and we don't know everyone who broadcasts our program, but now we know for sure that it is on the air. Then from a blog dated 10 March of this year about Five Corners Radio, also on these frequencies, another podcast, musical. Its host broadcasts its favorite foreign music at the request of listeners. Also letters and reception reports. At that time, 15 editions of Five Corners Radio had already been released. Tune in on 3940 weekends or 1575, which runs every day. A much more recent item, will HF broadcast of Bay of Free Waves continue? Broadcasting on 3940 is back on the air after several weeks of silence. How long? It depends entirely on listener support. Vadim Komarov publishes an appeal to all who are not indifferent with a request to support the project, not necessarily financially, but in the form of feedback. So the programs which could be heard on 3940 are Five Corners Radio, Rock Panorama, or Free Wave Bay. They resumed on June 3rd and got reception reports from Europe, but nothing at all heard from Russia. Joe's Jacob in India forwards news from Al Jazeera on July 13th at 10 UT, showing on the screen that protesters had taken over Sri Lankan television. The shortwave broadcasts from Trincomalee might also be affected by the strife in Sri Lanka. Of course, that site relays a number of foreign broadcasters, and SLBC itself, the best time to check, at midnight 30 to 01 and 02 to 02:30 on 11905, and also between 16:30 and 18:30 on 11750 when it's been relaying domestic services. There was also a Twitter feed with lots of comments from Sri Lankans and others, and more video clips under the name AZZAMAMEEN. In the British DX Club, Gareth Foster reports on the radio scene in Bangkok after a two-week visit to Thailand. Much to my surprise, Medium Wave is still very full, counting 23 stations starting at 540, in the low part of the band every 18 kHz, and various others up to 1467. The FM band was equally full, 41 stations, starting at 87.5 MHz, and then every 50 kHz to 107.5, except for a gap at 97.5. One English station on 88, Voice of Thailand FM, with a news hour program at 5 and 10 hour UTC, also relayed by Thai stations on 95 and 95.5. When I got in our host's car, a 6-inch screen popped up on the dashboard listing English stations, Capital, Smooth, and their variants. The Heart Breakfast Show played at lunchtime in Thailand. I was speechless at first and then saw a 4G icon on the screen. The main reply to my questions was it came with a car and helps me with my English. The reception was perfect, with no buffering or dropouts all over Bangkok and beyond. Certainly better than DAB or FM when driving around London. My main thoughts were, I want one. I wondered how well it would work in London and what it would cost in 4G streaming. Ukrainian radio has resumed streaming, so Jeff White says the relays via WRMI have resumed at 05 to 06 UT on 7730. Richard Langley says this resumed on July 10th, and that includes 5 to 7 minutes of news in English at the beginning, titled Ukraine Security Issue. But that's the only time on WRMI, no longer at 12 UT on 5010. Ukraine Security Issue first airs, if you can hear the stream, or the 1386 Lithuanian relay at midnight UT. And as I reported before, there is a specific website archiving each daily broadcast in English. When it was Joe Inott in southwestern Pennsylvania who confirmed it's no longer at 12 UT. However, I see that another WRMI frequency at 12 to 13 UT is now supposed to be carrying Radio Svoboda, Radio Liberty in Russian. That's 15770. In the medium wave circle, Dave Hunt has some news. Last September, Her Majesty's DCMS published a document outlining strategy for on-air transmissions. The BBC will be closing down all medium wave and long wave transmitters by 2024. Commercial radio also expected to close down all medium wave by 2025, including Absolute Radio 1215. The only stations to survive on AM are likely to be community radio licenses, ethnic minority interest services, and perhaps Radio Caroline on 648. DCMS expect all FM transmissions to cease by 2030 from BBC Radio and also the two main commercial groups, Global and Bauer. Only licensed community radio stations will continue to transmit on FM beyond 2030. However, later this information was demoted to speculation, as Dave Kenny points out. Mike Terry forwards news from Radio Caroline North. Join us over the weekend of 16th and 17th July for our next broadcast, live from our radio ship, Ross Revenge, music from the 60s to early 90s. 6:48 a.m. across England, the Netherlands, Belgium, and beyond. 13:68 a.m. in the north and northwest via Max Radio. On July 10th, Richard Langley says he found that streaming from voanews.com was down. As a result, some broadcasts of Flashpoint Ukraine at 19:30 on WRMI 15770 had to be missed. Also to be missed, since July 15th is the third Friday of the month already, our 18:15 UT broadcast via IRS 7290 plus medium wave back next week. Some comments from Greg Hardison in Los Angeles. There's an over preponderance of fascist Trump worshipping and bootlicking in nearly all current commercial radio talk programming. The best example is my iHeart local KFI 640, which consigned all the Rush and Hannity and syndicated bull to its also-ran sister on 1150 three or four years ago. It only took a few surveys for KFI to shoot to the top five of rated stations, after jettisoning the crap to go all live and local, except for George Nuri overnight and some non-political weekends. The also 50-kilowatt 1150 home of the fascist bleedings barely shows in the ratings, while KFI is by far the most listened-to AM signal in SoCal. The few talk radio program directors with functioning brains would do well to take the lesson from KFI and take the time to actually program their signals with objective, life and issue-based, locally-oriented material that has appeal to listeners other than cheerleaders for Trump. You may hear a mess around 1540 kilohertz. Previously, stations in Georgia and Texas have been messing up, and now here's one in Michigan. According to the tip sheet, Vance says, KTGG in Okemos, Michigan, heard July 7th at 1856 with a severe buzzing sound. If you ever tune to 1540 and hear only buzzing, odds are you're listening to KTGG. Believe it or not, some of the children's programs are interesting, but who can listen when the audio is a cross between Radio Havana and Radio Cairo? I know it's difficult to find technicians to fix signal problems, but I also believe technicians are so scarce because they weren't respected and adequately compensated. And here's another problem on 1640, reported by Lou Johnson, KF4 RCA in Atlanta, about WTNI 1640 in Biloxi, Mississippi. This was midnight 21 UT, July 9th. Transmitter cycling on and off every 1 or 2 seconds. May be an easy fix. Maybe a shorted capacitor in the antenna tuning unit. The area gets lots of lightning strikes, or it could be a fried rodent somewhere. I've seen that before. They probably had a contract engineer, but he never got paid, and said to hell with them. I've heard from a consulting engineer that AMs don't pay their bills. This is a clear example of people in the radio business that should not be there. From Paul McLean in Radio World, July 7th, via Mike Terry. The FM band just keeps getting more crowded. There are 26% more FM licenses of all types compared to 10 years ago, according to figures from the FCC. There are 4,601 more FM signals on the band than there were just 10 years ago. The past year alone, the number of FM translators and boosters went up by more than 330, probably almost all translators, now approaching 9,000. The big reason, the 88 to 108 spectrum has become so busy in the past 10 to 15 years. However, low-power FMs fell by 59 in the past year to 2,034. Over on the senior band, the total of AM licensees continues to creep down at 4,498, a drop of 35 signals this year and down more than 250 over 10 years. From the website thetruthaboutcars.com via Mike Terry, some automakers are abandoning AM radio, mainly electric vehicles because of the interference their own circuitry causes. Tesla actually abandoned AM radio in 2018, citing static from electromagnetic interference created by the electric motors. BMW and Porsche have used similar reasoning for why the feature has been removed from their EVs. But it's not universal. American manufacturers have retained the option to listen to AM radio on their all-electric products. A lot of companies have ditched the medium wave band to offer alternative ways of listening to AM frequencies, requiring additional expense. Tesla will allow drivers to tune in if they're subscribed to its premium connectivity service. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports Radio Vanuatu finally reactivated July 13th. Heard on 7260, both before and after 06UT, meaning there are no harmonics on 11835 since 3945 is not in use. In WTFDA, FMDXer Paul Logan in Northern Ireland has compiled these statistics about sporadic E distances. The average one-hop distance is 1,057 miles. The shortest one-hop, 373. The longest multi-hop he's observed, 4,012 miles. 51% of the logs fell between 932 and 1181 miles. Beyond 1491 miles, there was a very sharp fall-off for single-hop. The double-hop average, around 1801 to 1864 miles. The HF propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic field likely to reach active intervals July 12th to 14th, 22nd to 24th, and August 3rd. And G1 minor geomagnetic storm levels likely on July 23rd, with ANK indices peaking at 20 and 5. And in between, no lower than 8 and 3 rather than 5 and 2. Reflux dropping from 138 July 16th to 125 on the 18th, and back up to 160 by July 30th. And that's World of Radio 2147. Glenn Hauser here. Thanks for listening. I hope you found it informative, and will make a point of hearing me again next week, concluding with a standard disclaimer.